I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Glad you could be here on this Tuesday. Life, you know, is often a series of risks. Most are small. A few risks will be big. But imagine taking a risk so big that you might die, and still you take it. That is the calculation made by so many people from the Mideast and Africa who fled to Europe across the Mediterranean. This past week alone, more than 1,000 people are believed to have drowned trying to make the crossing. And even when and if they get to Europe, the promised land ain't what it may have once seemed.
Europe, for people from the East, you think that it's a nice place and nice people, but when you arrive at some point, you see that, nah, it's not like that.
We'll hear more from her in a moment, a young Syrian woman who lost some of her illusions on the trip to her new home in Germany. First, though, that risk and a disturbing new trend that's happening, especially in Libya, we hear. It seems a lot of migrants are not just paying smugglers. Joel Millman with the International Organization for Migration says they're being targeted by smugglers.
They seem to have taken a new tack, which is to grab people, hold them hostage, try to find family members, either home, usually in sub-Saharan Africa, or perhaps someone who's made it to Europe or North America already, and then extort money from them and then get them down to the coast and force them into boats and get them out to sea. I think the understanding is once we've gotten the money from one of these poor families in Africa, we're unlikely to get any more. So it saves them the trouble of kidnapping someone a second time. So you do see a lot of people ending up on these boats who've been coerced and literally beaten sometimes into getting into these boats. That's what we hear from the survivors.
So you're saying the smugglers are more like an organized crime ring than fee for transport business?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the system exists because there's enormous demand. Thousands of people still cross the Sahara every month. And in fact, an astonishing number cross every month trying to get to Libya to get to Europe. So there is a flow of migrants, but we see more and more that people are operating on the streets of Tripoli, grabbing Africans. They're easily identifiable. People know they're there to work, and there's no banks to put their money or where to send money home. So they usually have cash on them. And these people become targets. They used to just be beaten and robbed. Now they're beaten, robbed, and then held in a place where their families can be directed by cell phone to send money to accounts that pay for their liberation. And that liberation is often on a boat, where, as you know, over 1,000 people have died just in the past week coming on that route.
How do you know this refugee extortion isn't just a few anecdotal cases, but a real trend?
Well, first of all, we know it's a real trend all over the world. You know, we've heard the same thing in Yemen during the civil war there. We've heard of gangs grabbing Ethiopians and holding them. People sell cattle in Ethiopia to get them released. And we know, wire the money to these kidnappers. And then they're kidnapped again a few days later in Yemen. This is very common. So I wouldn't say this is a unique trend, but migrants, you know, are extremely vulnerable. They're the weakest link down the chain, and there doesn't seem to be any easy way for law enforcement to protect them. Certainly in the countries that they're passing through, there's very little protection. But the international community has a hard time finding a partner or someone they can work with to try to stop these abuses.
And you said a lot of these migrants who are leaving Libya are coming from sub-Saharan Africa. But the reason they're leaving Libya right now, I mean, I guess it's just turmoil in Libya and nobody really wants to stay there. Is that it?
That's a lot of it. I mean, I worked on a rescue last year where we had a mixed group of migrants that were rescued at sea off Tunisia, that they had left Libya. But we were beginning to hear that it just wasn't possible to work safely there. Africans in particular were identified as people that had no protection in the country. Rarely is there an embassy from any of these countries operating. And the police were shaking them down. The gangs were shaking them down. IOM has been lucky in the sense that they've opened channels and have gotten into some detention centers and have moved hundreds of people out of these detention centers back to their homes. All of those flights that we charter tend to be places like Senegal, Burkina Faso, places like that, where people want to come home. But we know there's hundreds of thousands of people in Libya now that fit the profile of the most vulnerable, the most likely to be kidnapped and forced into these boats. And it does partially explain why you have this surge of activity right now in the Mediterranean that's really, really grown enormously just in the past few weeks.
Joel, where do you see possible successful routes for dealing with these smugglers, these kidnappers?
A lot of people believe that things like building a wall or tightening restrictions or raising barriers for migrants is a way to stop the criminal activity. But actually what it is it's a feeder, and it hits the migrants, the most vulnerable migrants, hardest. So what we call for is legal, safe, and secure migration, and we mean secure for everyone, including the countries that are taking people in. Otherwise, you just have people being fed to criminals who will treat them ruthlessly, exploit them terribly, and grow their business, you know, basically in defiance of all these efforts to stop them.
Joel Millman with the International Organization for Migration in Geneva.